AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The pod's over. It's over before it began.
Hello, welcome, welcome, Strider Patton. That is an incredible name. I'm sure I am not the first person to say that.
Ditto. Literally, ditto. Like, without having knowing anything, I was like, okay, we got Strider Patton. You know, like, it's already a big deal. It is, just by virtue of name.
It almost feels like, and I mean this as a compliment, and I hope you take it this way, it's like the name that a writer's room would come up with for, like a character that joins in like season 2 or 3, they're like, Strider Patton's coming to town.
Oh yeah, no, you're like the transfer cool kid / new love interest, without doubt, or a video game character.
Yeah, just got to give full props to my mom for that one. You know, that comes straight from Lord of the Rings, and so props to her for being a Tolkien fan and loving the name her whole life, and somewhere convincing my dad along the way. And I did not know that's where the name came from until high school when I read Lord of the Rings. And lo and behold, like 2 chapters in or something, Strider comes out. And I remember running into her room and just being like, Mom, Strider? Like holding the book up in the air. And she's like, yep, that's it.
You figured it out like Sherlock Holmes or something.
I mean, it was like right before the movies were coming out, and I was like, I know this is a legendary book. I have to read it before the movies come out because they look amazing. So I plowed through all 3 books right before, absolutely loved it. And again, to further my mom's credit, she waited to see me read the book and that I was really enjoying it to confirm that that's where my name comes from, because she's like, if you like hated those books, I was not going to say that that's where your name came from, but that is where it came from. And yeah.
Really rising her bets. Really, really.
Yeah.
Very strategic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
a real long game.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So I absolutely cherish those books, and it's an honor to have the name.
Wow. I feel like we might have to have our first mom will be Strider's mom on the podcast. That is a lady. She raised you like chess, thought about all the moves, you know, not like checkers. That's maybe how I roll. King me, Neil. King me.
Yeah. Moving on. Ollie, would you do the honors of introducing, in a more formal fashion, our guest, today's guest on World's Greatest Dad?
Done. Consider it done, Neil. Personal favor between me to you. Here we go, everybody. Today's guest is a creative force whose simple act of braiding his daughter's hair turned into a global movement. Strider Patton is the founder of Dad Braids. He's an artist, husband, and proud father of 2. What started at his kitchen table as a way to connect with his daughter became a daily ritual and a reminder that presence matters more than perfection. Since sharing those moments online, millions of dads have joined the Dad Braids community, learning to show up with confidence, patience, and purpose, one braid at a time. Strider's work has reached over 50 million people on Instagram, TikTok, and through his weekly newsletter. When he's not braiding, Strider creates art at StriderPatton.com or helps his wife run the Rabbit Hole Children's Theater in San Francisco, inspiring kids through storytelling and creativity. His most important credit, of course, is as a devoted dad to his 5 and 1-year-old kids. Please welcome the talented, patient, and visionary Strider Patton to World's Greatest Dad.
Well, Guys, it's such an honor. Thank you so much for reaching out. I can't wait to get in there and talk about all things dad and fatherhood and getting up early and staying up late and whatever else we wander into. I'm sure Braiding will be in there somewhere too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the name. I'm glad you got right into it. And let's get granular. What time do you wake up and what time do you go to bed?
I try to wake up at 5 a.m. and I try to go to bed at 9 p.m.
Oh,
and that can fluctuate to either side on both ends. When I'm really locked in and I'm feeling my best, I like to get up at 4 a.m. and do like a meditation or a workout or some yoga. And I need to be in bed at like 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. to do that. But oh my God, that's hard. Last night, the baby was up all night, got a one-year-old. So today I cruised through all the alarms and woke up at 6:30, which is the absolute last moment to actually get my daughter out the door into school.
Wow. So when does school start? Is this sort of, I see you live in San Francisco. Tell me about that. Tell me about that rigmarole. Are you getting on the BART, Muni, bus, walking through the Mission? What's going on there? 6:30 a.m. That's early.
Now, we moved to a smaller town outside of the city just a couple years ago, but mm-hmm. was in the city. My wife's company is still there, so we're in there, you know, multiple days a week. But we do live in a smaller town outside of the city now. So that makes things a little bit easier because I lived in the Mission. I've lived in Soma. I've lived all over the city. And and we, you know, my wife's studio, the Rabbit Hole Children's Theater, is like a make-believe studio, all things imagination and pretend play. And we work with ages like 2 to 10. So we're very much have been in the world of kids and art and imagination for 10 years or more. And so I know kid life in the city for sure. My daughter started there, but now it's a bit slower pace, and that makes things a bit easier. So props to all the city parents out there, because it's a lot to get kids to and from one place at a very crowded area. But yeah, school starts at, I don't know, like drop her off at 7:45, 8 o'clock. So we
got kindergarten, preschool.
Kindergarten, yep.
Oh, it begins.
It is.
That's
yeah,
the
we're
real
in
learning
it.
Right there.
We are locked in, going straight down the path now.
So did you feel, so you guys had this children's company for a good 5 years before you had a kid hit the scene in your residence as a tax deduction. did you feel like, did that make you more mentally or emotionally prepared, or is it kind of, you know, a wash because when it's your kid, it's a totally different thing?
It's been a lot of learning since becoming a parent. So my wife and I both found out when we, you know, were dating that we've both worked with kids kind of throughout our lives, like after school club. I taught an after school club during high school and, you know, did some stuff during college, some youth programs and things like that. So I've always loved just childhood, you know, and playing and art. I've done art my whole life, and then it turned into a profession. And so my wife had a similar experience with theater and working with kids. And so we met right as she was starting her children's theater. And we were just joking the other day how, yeah, we were working professionally with a company and staff and everything and for 5 years until we had our own kids. So we knew, of course, we were going to have a family. We were very excited for that. But
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
There were many perspectives that presented themselves to us only after we became real parents. And then we're like, oh, dang, like, it's really helpful to know, like, get little, like, text messages and photos of what your kid's up to at camp all day, you know? And that's just something we never considered when we were running our camps before having kids. It was like, and then our daughter's preschool would just send us photos throughout the day of stuff they're doing. We're like, this is great. Oh, wait, maybe we should do this with our company. So we learned lots of lessons becoming parents ourselves. But yeah, we were so excited to become parents finally. But I think that just in turn helped our programming and all the stuff that we do with other people's kids.
What ages are the kids at the theater school camp that you do?
We do like ages 2 to 10. And so, you know, it's the Rabbit Hole Children's Theater, but we like to, you know, say immediately, we're not making child actors here. It's really just a space for like daytime classes for like little kids and their parents or caregivers during the day. And then after school, we have clubs for elementary kids, and we send teachers. We partner with 18 schools around San Francisco and starting to branch out to the larger Bay Area. So we do teachers go into after school programs, and anytime school is out, we're open with a camp. So that'd be like day camps during the school year. Summer camp season is like the big time of year with like week long themed camps. But you know, that sweet spot of imagination and pretend play, you know, like 3-4 years old to like, you know, 7 years old, that's just like full blown fun imagination land. And that's what we love.
Yeah.
So when do you take a vacation? Because I imagine when school is closed, that is a potentially your busy seasons, because this is a time where, you know, the folks who aren't going out of town need a place for their kids to go and be safe and learn and have fun. So do you kind of pick and choose which vacations you'll open up a camp and which you kind of shut down, or?
Yeah, I mean, the first few years we didn't have vacations, because ask any you know, small business bootstrapper, and you're working all the time. But you know, thankfully there's just an immense amount of like heart and thoughtful programming that went in from the early days, and parents picked that up right away. And so the programming, you know, really has had a strong base right from the get. And so with that, we've been able to hire just like incredible team members, other artists and creatives. And so, you know, now 10 years in, we are definitely at a place that at least Brooke and I, my wife, we can, you know, we have a team of staff. So we still jump in there and, you know, do a puppet show from time to time, but we have just the best team. And yeah, like anytime it is a holiday, like we're pretty much open, save for like the real holidays, like Christmas Eve, Christmas, you know, New Year's Day. But pretty much around those, like we're open. And, you know, it's just scheduling, you know.
So you had this business for 5 years before you had kids. And your youngest clients, if you will, are 2. That's young. And I don't know if you grew up with siblings, if you were older, younger, whatever, but I feel like, did you have a head start when kids came along for you? Because you're literally like dealing with a lot of 2-year-olds for 5 years. That's young, you know, that's it's one thing. Yeah, that's feels like that's like a boot camp, if you will, for parenthood.
It was a fast track. Yeah, it was like we didn't really start the 2-year-old stuff till just a couple years ago. It was really like 4, 5, 6, you know, and up for like the first 5 years. But yeah, you know, that's I learned a lot, and there's been a lot of just constant education, you know, with my wife and I, which we have put into our training for all the staff that we bring on, is you know, we've got some core philosophies and styles of, you know, classroom management, and that absolutely weaves into, you know, being a parent at home too. But, you know, but at home you don't have, or at work you don't have, you know, the meltdowns at, you know, 9 p.m. when are way overtired and, you know, didn't get enough to eat and all this stuff. So there's all these additional things that you could never be prepared for from running, you know, a kid's art space.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, how do those philosophies kind of inform each other? Like, how did whatever your curriculum and values kind of at the theater, you know, inform your approach of how you were going to be as parents? And then how did actually being parents change everything you do, you know, at the company?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, you know, something that's obviously very important to us is creativity and play and how they work together to, you know, bring about connection. And, you know, central to the philosophy at the Rabbit Hole is, you know, it's about the process of making versus the outcome. And it's like, we're not creating shows and having kids like try out and one kid gets to hear, yes, you got the role, and 10 kids hear, no, you're not good enough. Like, that's the exact opposite of us. We get the kids to come together and create a show together. And it's just the philosophy that's emerged over time. And, you know, like, we've been heavily inspired by, you know, he just passed away a couple of years ago, but the work of Ken Robinson. He has a couple of great TED Talks on creativity and play. And so that's core for us, you know, with the studio and then my professional art. I paint large scale murals and sculptures and do some smaller like canvases sometimes. But, you know, with the kids, and in turn, what kind of wove into like Dad Braids, and the message that I try to send there too is like, presence over perfection here, everybody. Like, let's fall in love with the process of doing something and let go of the pressure of like what it's supposed to be. Because that's what I think us as adults are just so conditioned into now, is like, I want something amazing and I want it as fast as possible. And that's just like, you know, the world that we live in. And it's something that the Rabbit Hole is all about, and now Dad Braids is all about, is just showing up, enjoying the process of creating, knowing it's going to be, you know, rough at the beginning, and it's not going to maybe look the way you want it to. So just let those expectations kind of take a back seat for a moment, and let's just show up day after day and keep moving forward. And then eventually you get better. When you get better, it becomes more fun. When it becomes more fun, then you can be more creative. And then all of a sudden, you're in a space where now you're making really cool stuff. And that's, you know, part of what we do. And we've brought that into our home as well. But like you said, you know, there's just the feedback loop is like, we can be try to be mindful and present all the time at home. But like, at some point, like, breakfast has got to be eaten, and we're in the car because we got to get to school, because...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's a bell, and it's important for us to show up on time at places. So, you know, there's a lot of feedback back and forth. And man, it's easy to talk about, you know, how wonderful and how mindful and stuff we can try to be. But dude, after, you know, well, I guess every day since your first child is born, your life changes. And that's what's like, that's what was so startling in the first, you know, year of being a dad, is there's no going back. You know, there's an old way of life, and that is like, that is gone. It is never coming back. And now you are here. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot in there, but the feedback loop is constantly there, back and forth. And it's just a reminder that we're all growing too. So as our kids grow, we'll go through different milestones and phases, and she's leveling up. And like, right when you're feeling good and comfortable, everything changes, you know, a new like thing happens with her, and she grows mentally or emotionally, and there come a whole new series of challenges with that too.
Yeah. I feel like you're I just have one. Neil has two. But you're right in that zone with a one-year-old where you're like, oh, and you have a five-year-old. So, you know, it's not literally not your first rodeo. But what are you kind of noticing now that maybe is easier, similar, different with your one-year-old and your second kid? And, you know, like, I don't know, like, you're right in the middle of like, oh, yeah, with my second, right? That's like, I feel like when we talk to dads, he goes, well, with our second. So, yeah, I mean, just hit me with that. Like, tell me what you're noticing with your second, because it's happening, right?
Yeah. Bullet point, the second one learns so much faster than the first. It is like mind-blowing how quickly this little guy is learning, and that's because he's got an older sister just right there with him, showing him the way. He's just like, I can do that, I can keep up, and he's just like going for it. He's going for like walking and talking like faster than she ever did, which makes sense. You know, she came around and she was just around adults, and he comes around and he's got this kid in the house who's already paved the way, and she has her friends over, and he's just seeing all of them, and he's just trying to keep up. So he is learning and growing. It just seems so much faster than the first one. And for parents, you know, we always, you know, the joke is like, oh, you know, hear that thud on the floor upstairs, and you're like, first time parent, you're like freaking out, running up the stairs. Second time, you're like, no crying. Okay, yeah, it's cool. That's very much true. Yeah. It's like you get to like pump the brakes a bit more, not so much helicopter parenting. So yeah, I don't know. It's wild. It's wild to see the dynamics and, you know, all the challenges with like sharing and stuff, but I'm very happy. My daughter just was so excited. I'm happy she was old enough to like really talk to her and tell her and prepare her for the baby. And she could like get it. And she was very excited to become a sister, and now she loves being a sister. So that's very sweet.
Very cool. I can relate to a lot of that. I remember when my son started revealing that he knew letters and numbers, my wife and I were like, we didn't teach him this. We never talked to him about that. And like, he just picked it up, and it's like you got to kind of fend for yourself. And yeah, he figured it out, you know, whereas like we painstakingly, you know, went through the alphabet and counting, and, you know, maybe we read a few books a couple times, but like, yeah, pretty much he just got it. So it's very, you know, trial by fire with the second kid, I find.
And what are your kids' ages again?
My daughter is 7 in second grade, and my son is 5 like yours, okay. And in kindergarten. So, you know, starting to read, put some words together. Which is very cool, which I've said many times in this podcast, I didn't read until first grade, which I think was standard back then. All right, Ollie. So yeah, I don't know. I think the kids are all right. I mean, we're leaving them a terrible world to inhabit, but you know, maybe they'll fix it. I don't know. Maybe not. So you definitely provided us this segue that we just totally trampled over, but I want to go back.
What? I caught that, by the way. I was ready to just be like, zinger. Speaking of weaving, I totally caught it.
I don't even know what it was, so.
Oh, you said weave. You said weave. You said weave.
The whole reason you're here is the braids. And I'll be honest. I'm a dad. I'm a girl dad. I'm boy dad, girl dad. You know, girl dad first. And then, but, you know, we have the same structure of the older girl, the younger boy. I have never... I've touched her hair. I don't braid. I don't handle the hair. And I'm wondering if this is something that I should do, that I should learn. You know, I mean, I know that there are, I would say what excites me so much about dad braids and you in general, so much about this, and I'm going to unpack it and tell you where I'm at with it, is we talk a lot about the emotional labor of parenting and being a dad and being a modern dad and what it looks like to be a dad today versus when our dads, you know, were that, were parenting, or our grandparents' generation, or so on and so on. And, you know, I think we've come a long way in terms of like normalizing, you know, millennial fathers, for instance, spend more time with, with their children than, you know, fathers in any time in human history. That's a fact from author of Fatherhood, A History by Augustine Sedgwick, former guest, World's Greatest Dad, shout out. So we know that we're doing a lot more. And yet, still, my wife and every mom I know in our neighborhood in Brooklyn would tell you, we don't do nearly as much as the moms. And that's not to say, that's an on average, right? So here you're doing something that is very, I would say, like mom coded. And I'd love to know what drew you to it, what the origin story of Dad Braids was, and what it means to you to pick something up and normalize doing your daughter's hair as a dad, and not even just like, oh, I'm a single, you know, like you're a dad with a mom in the picture also there, but you're the one choosing to kind of spearhead this. So walk us through kind of like how it all started and what it means to you.
Yeah. When we first found out we were having a daughter, like for whatever reason, just literally the image of me wanting to braid her hair, like just flashed in my mind. I can't tell you like why or how, but I just remember it was there. And I had to wait till she was almost three. She was quite bald. And, you know, the locks were not long enough until 2.5, 3 years old. And I'm an artist. I love to work with my hands. I just love making things. I love materials. I love, when I was a kid, I loved knots and like magic and Boy Scouts and like things like that. So I just like tactile things. I can really get in just like flow state, which is just a wonderful, you know, present moment when I'm working with my hands. And I remember like my wife and I, you know, like our daughter is almost six. So she was born 3 months before COVID happened. So 3 month old, COVID hit, world shut down. Our business was put on pause. We were figuring out what we're going to do. We went out of state for almost a year to stay with family while San Francisco was like one of the last cities to reopen, you know? So, and all my big art installations were put on pause. So like, I was just at home, you know, trying to figure out what to do, but I got this incredible quality time with my daughter that I definitely wouldn't have had otherwise. But when we came back to San Francisco to open up my wife's company, the hair was just now long enough. And I remember just being like, all right, I'm going to learn this braiding thing. And, you know, my wife and I, you know, switch, you know, roles with, you know, breakfast and, you know, like you're speaking to, like, you know, kind of modern fatherhood, kind of just like trying to do a bit more shared responsibilities in different ways. And my wife would make breakfast. I'm like, all right, this girl's hair is like, something needs to happen here. Cause it's like long enough. It's in her face. I'm going to learn how to braid. And, so I watched just a ton of YouTubes and stuff, and it was hard. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Like, and my goal was like a French braid. Like, I'm going to get a French braid because they're beautiful and they look really hard. And that was just kind of my first goal. And it took a while and I finally nailed it. And it was one morning I got the French braid and I was just so stoked. And I like threw a cute dress on my daughter and I walked her up San Francisco up to the nearest playground and just to like show her off. And this mom came up and went down to my daughter. She's like, your braids are so beautiful. Who did those? Your mommy? My daughter just like pointed to me. She said, no, dad braids. And I was just like, boom, baby. That is exactly what I'm talking about. That mom's jaw dropped to the ground and was like, wow, you could teach my husband a thing or two. And I was like, okay, huh. And that kind of just like stuck with me. And then I kept going and I kept practicing and I got really into it. I got better and then more styles presented themselves. I could get better and better. And then she started preschool and I started to meet some other dads and everyone started to figure out I was the one doing the braids. And to bring in a very important point, my wife cannot braid. So she was just like, I could do pigtails and stuff and she can make her hair look cute and everything. But she told me later after all this kind of took off, she was like, I'm so happy you did this because I was always scared that my daughter was going to be like the girl who didn't have like nice hair going to school. But I started to get better, and then it got out that I was the one doing the hair, and then some dads and stuff at the playground were like, so how do you do that? I'm like, come here, let me show you a couple things. And I just like give them some tips, and they're like, okay. And like, they're learning. And I was just like, all right, if these guys are interested, maybe like, I'm already doing this every morning. Why don't I just set up my phone and hit record? And so I did that, and I posted online, and it just skyrocketed, took off like almost instantly, just absolutely went nuts. Hey dads, let's learn how to braid our daughter's hair together. And it just turned something simple as like, I just wanted to learn to braid my daughter's hair and found out it was a bunch of fun. And then it turns out a lot of other dads around the world think it's fun too.
Why do you think it caught fire? I mean, I have a theory, but like, why do you think it went so viral so fast?
I think it is a sign of what you're speaking to, just that modern fatherhood, you know, is a bit different today. I think dads are a lot more involved in their kids' lives than, you know, previous generations. And it's, you know, it's just something different. You know, it's taken on one of those positions where it's like, this is the mom's role, and it's the opposite. You know, it's like, oh, a dad's doing it. Like, whoa, crazy world. It's like, but it shouldn't be, you know, like, I don't like to use should statements, but like, hey, you know, we can both do this. You know, this doesn't have to be just the mom's position. And now my mom or my wife gets, you know, extra time to help pack lunches for the day or whatever. My wife still does my daughter's hair some days a week, and those are my days to pack lunches and make breakfast. So I think it's just kind of a sign of, you know, the times, and just, you know, kind of like more expansive, like getting rid of like, you know, gender-based like roles and responsibilities in the home. And yeah, I guess like just modern family and just where we're at today. I don't know, but it definitely is like, it's just challenging one of those like stereotypical old positions. It's like, women do the hair. Like,
so I'm curious about where, like, you'd been waiting for a minute. Like, you know, you literally said, I gotta wait for her hair to get a little bit longer. It took 2.5. So you're like literally waiting a few years. What, like, where did this, like, where did the inspiration, where did your love of braided hair come from? Because, you know, like, I don't know. It's crazy. What was it? Did you have sisters? Did a mom have it? Was there, I don't know, a painting you saw somewhere once? You know? I don't know.
Yeah. It's not like I was, like, just, like, waiting around. It was, like, one day I was just, like, you know, I think this is long enough now. It wasn't just like me just like, oh my God, waiting. It was just, you know, life, just learning to be a dad. And then it was there, and I was like, all right, better watch some YouTube videos, because that's what we do when we want to learn things now. And but it was like I said, it was just starting with the basics. I mean, it was just like, okay, let's learn the 3-strand braid first. That is the bare, that is the number one first braid. And that is the foundation of my goal, which is a French braid. It's just a 3-strand braid starting at the top all the way down where you add hair in. And I had no idea of all this. And I didn't have like, I had no idea of how many braids and hairstyles there were out there. But to even go back to why I think Dad Braid's channel took off is because when I was trying to learn, there were so many other like accounts, and they're all moms, and they're all doing their daughter's hair, and they're just flying. They're just going through everything, and like, they go fast, but then they speed up their video on top of that. And I'm just like, what? Like, how do you even like put in a hair tie properly? Like, how do you like, I found out like there's actually a way to brush out the hair that's better, and like all this like basic stuff, and doing it slow motion, like in real time, and talking about it all the way through. I think that's what really brought my channel to explode, because that's what, I mean, there's so many moms that follow dad braids, and aunts and uncles and grandparents and boyfriends and girlfriends, like all types of people are in the dad braids club. And so many people, that's the number one thing. They're just like, thank you for going slow. Thank you for just like explaining the basics, and especially for the dads, like, you know, and like I said, there's so many other channels. Like if you're already a mom and you're already like going, like go follow, like go do them. Cause they're like the experts. I'm still very much learning a lot myself, but so many people just say like, thank you for going slow and just like talking about it. Cause us dads, it's like, we've never worked with long hair, you know? Yeah. And so like, we do have to learn the absolute basics, and that's where I was. But I do have a younger sister. She's 5 years younger than me, but like, I didn't braid her hair or anything. So I really don't know where it came from. I think it's really just back to the art stuff. Like I just like, it was just something to do like every morning. And like my daughter's hair was shorter back then. So just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It's just another creative act. And I'm all about creativity in any capacity it's possible in my life.
Well, I love that your whole philosophy, and I know it's about like process, not perfection, and just kind of doing and being present. And it's funny that like you not being an expert is actually a strength here. And, you know, Ollie and I like to talk about that kind of that old cliche about kind of being one piano lesson ahead. You know, it feels like sometimes that's where, you know, with dads, with younger kids, you know, maybe sometimes we have a little bit of advice or wisdom or different experience to share. And like, you know, you're like one or two piano lessons ahead in braiding. And so that actually is more useful than, you know, someone who's, you know, playing at Carnegie Hall in braiding, to make the analogy, which is very just fascinating. And I love that. I'm curious about, if this has happened, you know, have you encountered any negative feedback, you know, in terms of this isn't what a dad should be doing and this isn't what a man should be doing? And if so, how has that affected you, and how have you responded to it? Have you responded to it? Because I love the idea of breaking down these barriers, but I'm curious for people for whom this is confusing, or, you know, they maybe see things a little bit more black and white, like how has that manifested in responses?
Yeah. You know, there's really only one comment that I can recall, and it was quite a while ago, from like a man who was like, this is the woman's job, you know? And it was like, it was pretty much exactly that, you know? And, it was just so funny, like, and like the account was already like just huge at that point. And just to see like people be like, the comment string below that, you know, was just talking about, you know, all the things that we've already covered, you know, modern fatherhood, you know, roles and family helping out each other, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I can understand why people make, you know, like confrontational content, because that sure did shoot up the algorithm. You know, all the engagement on that one guy's post just like skyrocketed that video to like virality, because everyone is just mobbing in, like sharing their two cents. So I really try to stay away from any confrontational stuff, but the most confrontational stuff, actually just a couple videos ago, I posted a video that went just like totally viral, kind of talking about my new like scrunchy system, and we can get into that in a little bit. But the most kind of like pushback I've got is from women. And like a while ago, I just did a video on how to tie a hair tie, like basic stuff, you know, got one around here, but you know, just a little hair tie, a little elastic band, like put in a ponytail, how to do it. And I was like, this is the most innocent video one could possibly make. And so I posted it, and it's because, you know, I often tell people just like, what do you want to know? Like, what are you having trouble with? Just DM me, send me an email, whatever. And so people do, you know, specific hairstyles. And this one person was like, I don't mean to sound like just like helpless, but like, can you do a video on just how to actually just twist up a hair tie properly? I was like, you got it, buddy. Let's do it. So I did it. And yeah, a couple women in that were just very, very upset. And it like shocked me. And again, like people came into the comments and started like going back. But yeah, one woman just said she was offended that this video exists. Because from what I remember, she was saying like, this is so simple and basic of a thing. How like, this is just ridiculous that this video even has to exist. And I just, obviously, when some people just like come at you, like I do not engage at all. Like, I just have compassion for those people, because if you're just sitting around on the internet, just like trolling people, like there's nothing I can say that would do anything. And so that was like the hair tie one specifically. But this video I just posted a couple days ago, you know, it's really sat with me, because it was just like me talking about like, you know, a course that I'm coming out with, where it's like going to use all the videos that I post that I've already posted for free on my platform. But we're going to like categorize them into building blocks. So like 5 levels, and those levels are going to go up. So anyone who wants to go this route, we're going to turn it into a bit of a game, kind of like jiu-jitsu, and like you level up your belt colors in jiu-jitsu. Well, we're going to level up with our scrunchie colors here. And so I posted this video like explaining it. It's going to be a fun thing for those who want to do it. And some women, you know, just said, you know, kind of came at me for, you know, like, oh, a guy posts all this and everyone's just clapping for him, you know? And I very much understand. We kind of talked about that earlier. It was like, you know, I shouldn't get a reward for, you know, braiding my daughter's hair, you know, because that's a part of, you know, just daily life of having, you know, a daughter and getting her dressed and fed and out the door and looking presentable. But it really offended a few people. And again, the comments just like, it was just crazy. But yeah, the most kind of challenging interactions that I've received are not from men, but they're from women.
But that's really interesting. I was wondering if, when you said that the woman was really upset about the scrunchie video, that it was because that you said she was offended it existed at all, and it seems like it's because she feels like men should already know how to do this. We shouldn't be rewarding, right, the fact that that men are taking this on. It makes me think of, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've experienced this yet, Strider, like if your, you know, wife has gone away for a weekend, or, you know, for business or something, or a trip, and you're with the kids solo, and people are like, wow, amazing. Or do you have help coming in? Or is anyone, you know, how are you doing it? Well, that's incredible. And then if you go out of town, it's like, yeah, just expect it. Of course. And I think that's like a version of what you're talking about. And I'm curious, how do you think we can raise the bar for men? You know, I mean, obviously this is the creative act, and bringing joy to it and normalizing, you know, something like taking on different roles with your kids that maybe dads haven't done in the past. But like, how do you see fatherhood changing? How would you like to see it change in the next 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, to go back to that point, you know, my wife was the very first one to bring up this topic after like when my account just started to take off. She's like, you post 10 videos on braiding hair and you're just like shot up and, you know, to the masses. I've been doing this work for like, you know, 10 years with the kids in the studio and all this. I'm just like, I know. It's a sign. It's a sign that, you know, things are changing. There are dads who are genuinely interested in being able to take care of this part, you know. And like a thing that I always like to say, it's like, let's turn like a task into the opportunity, just like for a quiet act of love every morning. You know, it's like, there's just, as parents, there's just like tasks, like make breakfast, make the lunches, get the kids dressed, get the car ready, like just out, task. And hair is just another part of that. And I'm like, let's just take that and move it from, yeah, a task into like a moment. And that's what I want with dad braids. And that's what I keep saying to people. And yeah, I think my wife, you know, nailed it right when she said, she's like, what you're doing is very obviously needed, because dads are wanting to change. And they're coming from all kinds of different situations at home too. Like, I'm just, you know, started this from my understanding of a family unit, which is a husband and wife and two kids. And we both have kind of flexible schedules, so we're able to kind of do different things. But after a year of this now, like, I've gotten just some of the most incredible emails from stories from different people from around the world, of anyone from like, I'm going through a divorce and I have three daughters and I have them 4 days a week and you're saving my life, man. Like, 'cause that's what my wife did this. I had no idea. And then a step worse is I'm a widower. My wife just passed and we have a daughter, and that was what my wife did. And then everything to, you know, my wife is on deployment and we're in the armed forces, and now I'm here, and like, or like, this dad just wrote, he like works on an oil rig 3 weeks and then he's home for like 2 weeks and he's going through a split up as well. And so like, and then we go for like two dads writing in and say, we just adopted a daughter. And so like all these like other like family dynamics that I just, you know, don't have personal experience with, but I just hear these just truly heartfelt, you know, messages that just share how much like this has just changed the relationship with their daughters. And that's what I love about this. But, you know, to go back to your point, like, where's fatherhood going? Yeah, I would like for this to get to a point where like this whole dad braids thing is like not celebrated for being novel and different, but it's just like, hey, this is just straight up education. Like, we don't come out learning how to tie a hair tie. So unless you've had long hair, you're not going to know how to do one. So you're going to have to learn at some point. So here it is. So let's just like all learn and have fun together. And yeah, I don't need to be put up on a pedestal of like, wow, father of like the year. It's like, no, like this is just a part of, you know, being a responsible parent who's got kids. And let's just give you a few more styles, so you got some options to send her out the door with.
Well, I just got to say, I think this is just one of those examples. And obviously, I think with what we're trying to do with the podcast is like, it's just social media at its finest, you know. This is like, wait a minute, the internet was an incredible thing that has come to human beings, and, you know, just being able to basically educate, to share. I mean, for people to be able to communicate and go, man, I'm right up in this too, and who knows where they're coming from, but we're all connected. So it's like, go, way to go, Silicon Valley. You did good. But, you know, look, you've clearly struck a nerve and you've got this thing. And, you know, dare I say, you might be looking at, you know, the legacy of it all, of dad braids, right? What is something that you hope, not even just your followers, but even your kids too, what do you want them to most remember about this work?
Yeah, what's interesting is, you know, my daughter's almost six, so she is like, you know, she's like lived half her life now with like me doing this. And like, I didn't start to publish videos until just over a year ago. But I was like, you know, practicing and everything. And at first it was just like cute and stuff. And like I tell dads who are just starting out and who have little like 2-3 year olds, I'm just like, guys, really, just, it doesn't even matter how the hair looks. All like, your daughter's just going to be stoked that you're like doing her hair, and it's just play. Like, you know, let her do your hair, like you do her hair, like, you know, just have it be fun and playful. And then, you know, she'll be able to enjoy it and like sit still longer, because that's the biggest factor with the young lenses. Like, hey, this all looks good, but my daughter can't sit still more than 30 seconds. And I'm like, well, you got a 3-year-old, so you're not going to get that. So just do the pigtails and, you know, slowly work your way up. But now my daughter is like very, you know, social dynamics are happening at school, friendships, you know, everything. And now she's like much more conscious about, you know, her hair and like what style she wants. So it's like, it's not just me like being able to do whatever I want because she's a 3-year-old. She's like, you know, she has her opinions. And just the other day she actually said like, Dad, like her friend just got like shoulder length hair, like real short, almost chin actually. She was like, oh, what, like my friend's hair? And I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good, right? She's like, yeah, I really like it. I'm like, that's cool. And she's like, what if I got that? I was like, that'd be pretty sweet. She's like, yeah, but what about dad braids? And I was like, honey, it's your body. Like, you always, always get to choose however you want to wear your hair and do whatever. So if you would like a shortcut, like, you got it. No matter what, like, it's always your choice. She's like, yeah, well, I don't know yet. And I was just like, cool. You just let me know. And if you want that cut, we got it. And obviously there's always been a shelf life to this project. My daughter's not going to let me do her hair forever. Of course, it'll happen sooner than I want, I'm sure. But yeah, you know, I think that's just kind of, that's the game we're all in, you know, with parenting and kids. You know, they say like, you know, everyone's like, what's the best part of being a parent? Watching them grow up. What's the hardest part about being a parent? Watching them grow up. You know, it's like, you just love it. You just love these, and especially the little ones when it's just like the most innocent, pure love, sweetness in the world. And you're just like, I don't know. I see like so much other like parenting content online and it's just like, oh, like this won't last forever. And I'm like, that's the given. Like, and so like, I'm just like, I just kind of want to like be excited about the next phase. Cause I just hear so much like, oh, the sweet childhood years, and they are sweet, but we are on a one-way train, people. So like, let's give it all we can right now. I think people will regret stuff if they're not present in the moment now. And so like, I don't want to be at a point where it's like, oh my God, the sweet years are gone and I missed it. It's like, no, the sweet years are gone and we're in a new phase, but I was super present during those years. So I lived those up as much as I possibly could. And I'm thankful I did and I got it. And now I'm excited for the next phase because I just don't want to live with that regret. And that's what I hope for the dad braids to do is like doing the hair. Like once they get a little older, they can sit longer. It does become just like this moment of connection. And really it's like the whole thing, it's like the braids are fun, but like really the whole project is about strengthening your relationship with your daughter. That's like the heart of it, you know? So my daughter's going to be aging out soon and we'll see what happens with dad braids. I don't know. Maybe something else will morph out of it. Maybe I'll let my son's hair grow long and start doing that. We'll see. We're going to take it day by day. But
If he wants.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Ollie, you got what else we got?
Yeah, no, I was wondering too, I'm going to say there, as Neil will say, like, I am a piano lesson ahead of you. But, you know, you have a 5-year-old, you have a 1-year-old. Going back to Strider before either of your kids, what is one piece of advice you would give to your past self that you've clearly, you know, learned, gathered now?
A piece of advice from today to a past self? I think something that I've just always struggled with is just to be more patient and be a little bit more kind to myself. I think, it kind of talks about going, you know, we've been circling around, you know, fatherhood and you know, men and the modern world that we live in. And even, you know, as a young man before a family, there's just all kinds of, you know, social and cultural pressures and expectations. And also depending on where you live, like I'm, you know, San Francisco Bay Area, it's like startup culture. It's like, go fast, go, 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 go. And it's like, if I could tell myself something in the past, it would be slow down, just enjoy where you're at, because you're not going to have this life forever. You're not going to be in this body forever. I just got my first like shoulder injury recently, 40 years old, you know? So just enjoy where you're at, because everything's always going to change and there's no rush. There's really, really no rush. Like you're doing okay. Just keep going, be kinder to yourself, and just enjoy where you're at.
Love it. So can you tell us about the scrunchie method? What can you tell us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, here we go. Yeah. So scrunchie, white, yellow, orange, purple, and then pink, the final level. So one thing when Dad Braid started was some of those diehards right at the beginning started to level, you know, just were like getting really good. And they're like, where do I go next? What's next? What's next? I'm like, I'm just releasing random videos. Like a couple days a week, I'm putting out videos. One's like a very basic video on, you know, a three-strand braid. The next one's like a really detailed Dutch braid or something. And it's like, all of a sudden, people are just kind of like, it just felt like all over the place. And I was like, man, like, people are kind of asking for like, where do I go? And I was like, this just needs some like structure. And again, to do like a male trope, stereotypical maleness is, let's put some structure around this and let's put this into a system that you can clearly kind of like progress in, because some people are like asking me basically for that. And, I've been like practicing jiu-jitsu on and off for a couple of years, and something that, you know, from day one, when you enter that, is exactly where you start and exactly where you're going. You start as a white belt and you want to become a black belt. And there are very systematic ways to step up there. And I was like, let's just do that, except let's use scrunchies and let's create our own little color code system. And I made a video just with that concept and it went nuts. And I have just like so many people direct messaged me from that. We're just like, this is amazing. I was like, you know, that was just like an idea that I happened to put out, and I got clear feedback that is wanted. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start structuring this. And, coming up for this holiday season right around the corner, I got my scrunchie course, and what it is going to be using all of the content that I've already put out. And so I'm very clear with this on the website. What you're getting with the scrunchie course is all the scrunchies sent to you. So we're using the honor code system. You can't be just throwing on the pink scrunchie if you haven't checked off the boxes on the way. But it's going to be like private playlists in an online course where it links out to the video. So instead of just going to my feed and scrolling through hundreds of random videos trying to find it, everything's organized in a system for you to level up, and you'll get all the scrunchies and you can just sport them once you're leveled up there. So
where can people get that from? Your website? Or
yeah, dadbraids.com. We're doing a pre-order now, and I think I'll start shipping them like December 1st. That and the toolbox is my pride and joy. Dad Braids toolbox comes with all your hair braiding essentials and gear. That's another one that just I never could have seen coming. Like, you start braiding, it's like I got hair ties and my wife's brush, and then I started to get more stuff, and I had like a little basket to hold everything, but then like more stuff started coming, so then I got a little box, and then I got more stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, I need to organize all this. And just being a just being a guy, I was like, there's a nice toolbox at the hardware store. I'll get that. And I started to use it in my videos, and everyone's like, when is the Dad Braids toolbox being released? And I'm like, okay.
The juxtaposition is amazing. Like, and honestly, even just the background alone when we started, I mean, this is quite intense. You've got drills, you know how to do this stuff. I mean, I almost imagine you being like, oh, the day I took my daughter to Home Depot for the first time and showed her around. Like, it's you really, you can't make this up, Neil. This is, you know, Dad Braids was just built to be a legacy. The toolbox.
Strider,
yeah.
You have been so generous with your time and your insights, and we appreciate it. We're going to ask two more things of you, if you'll grace us. Number one is the segment we call Brag About Your Kids. And this is where, now, just so you know, you get 30 seconds no matter what. You have two kids. You can divide that 30 seconds however you want. You want to spend all 30 seconds on your daughter? Go for it. You want it 15 and 15? You know, it's totally up to you. We have had guests on here with what, Ollie, four kids? That was a tough one. You know, he was really squeezed until the last second to try to mention those other kids.
Children were left behind. They were just forgotten about.
We're going to do Brag About Your Kids for 30 seconds, and then we're going to do our lightning round. How's that sound?
Let's go for it.
All righty. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Strider Patton, Brag About Your Kids.
My daughter came into this world not sleeping much, but that shows in her excitement and enthusiasm and curiosity for life. She is a force that is intelligent and full of ambition and creativity and
10 seconds.
Absolute love for life. And my son is a bit more chill, but very enthusiastic as well for a one-year-old.
And it's time.
Wow.
That's hard. 30 seconds is very quick.
That was clean. It was clean. I think it worked that you had a 5 and a 1-year-old. The 5-year-old's just got a bigger resume.
Yeah.
I think she got like 80% of that, and he got, you know, 20. So I think the balance of age works almost right. Yeah.
Listen, you can do an awards acceptance speech on my behalf anytime. I know you'll come in under time.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, Ollie, set up the dad lightning round. Let's do this.
Here comes the dad lightning round. Are you ready, Strider?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Parenting advice in 5 words or less.
Be kind. Have fun.
I like it. 4. That was 4. Choose a superpower. Super speed or super strength?
Super strength.
Okay. All right. And that shoulder injury, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. It's fresh.
One book every dad should read.
Hold On to Your Kids.
That's a book. Good to know. That sounds like it's a good title for sure. Greatest TV dad.
Biscuit. Or what's his name? From Bluey.
Oh, I Bandit. Aged out.
Bandit.
Got it.
Oh, yeah. My God. I want to make bracelets. What would Bandit do? Just as a constant reminder, because that guy's amazing.
Natural entrepreneur, folks. Okay. Dream dinner guest.
What dinner guest?
Your dream dinner guest.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Okay. He does
I
like
love
to
what he said about fatherhood and being a dad. I'm not like a big fan, but like some things, clips and stuff that have come through. He's very intentional and thoughtful. I really like his style.
All right. Best dad snack while braiding.
Avocado toast.
Nourishing and handheld. I like that.
Yeah.
Best music to rock out to while braiding hair.
Pharrell. For me, it's probably Fred again. For my daughter, it would be K-pop Demon Hunters right now.
That's a big thing. Big thing. Coffee, seltzer, or smoothie?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. You have a one-year-old. I get it. Yeah. Braids, ponytails, or messy buns?
Braids all day, for sure.
There we go. He's on brand, folks. He's on brand. Unless your daughter switches up. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's in the future? Greatest dad of all time.
Bandit again, man. Animated cartoon dog, for sure. He is the greatest dad of all time.
This is Bluey, right? This is the Bluey? Yeah, yeah, the Bluey. All right. Movie you can't wait to watch with your kids.
Lord of the Rings.
Bingo.
And book. So
yeah.
Skip that question later because that's the answer.
All right. And finally, best part about being a dad.
Watching them grow up.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And Strider Patton, this is the time on the podcast where we have to just call it like we see it. Right, Neil?
That's right. Strider Patton, you are the world's greatest dad.
Yeah.
Cheer.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was great, man.
Thanks for being here. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and congrats, and really just, it's awesome. I mean, honestly, this is like, to me, one of the great joys of doing this podcast is like just taking a temperature on literally where fatherhood is right now. And, you know, through these modern marvels of ours, like the old TikTok, apparently there's some good that can happen with that social media platform. And
that's really what this whole ride has shown me. It's it brought back, actually, a sincere, like, you know, hope and trust that in humanity. You know, it's so easy to get so dark, but what Dad Braids and the community that we've kind of built there is just so light, and it's just fun and playful, and it turns social media into a really loving, educational, fun space for me, and it never was that before. So, and that never would have happened without becoming a dad. So, to everyone out there, there's more good happening than we are ever aware of. All the bad stuff is always shown first, but there's so much good. And this has kind of shown me that side. So I'm just eternally grateful. And thank you guys for having me on the pod here. I can't wait to share it with the whole Dad Braids community. And can't wait to see who you have on next.
Love it. Thank you, Strider. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.